Brought to you by Black Knight, it's the technology.ie podcast, episode 15 for Thursday, January 26th, 2012, with Michaela Nealon and Conam Winnicott. Dismarif Ket Faltrovishtak, hello and welcome to the technology.ie podcast. My name is Conam Winnicott in the Edgecast Media Studio, and at Black Knight HQ, we're joined by Michaela Nealon. Hi, Michaela.
Good afternoon, Con. How's it going?
You're having a busy couple of days at the moment. I know that there's an awful lot going on we're going to talk about in just a minute, but you may have to leave us early before the end of this podcast as well today. First of all, there's stuff going on. We'll talk later in the programme. We'll talk about the stories from the United States about SOPA, what happened to it there, the Day of Darkness and how that succeeded. Mega Upload shut down by the FBI. We'll tell you more about that as well and talk a bit about that. We might get a word in to talk about Apple. They've announced some new publishing tools, and talk about some social networking as well. And of course, Black Knight, the January sale continues for just a few more days. But Michaela, since we spoke last week, SOPA has come to Ireland, and it's been, first of all, there's a petition, there's what, 30,000 signatures now. Can you bring us back, Michaela, because I know you've been involved with this. This has kind of grown and developed over several days. Last week when I was talking to you, there was no indication, or we didn't know that there was anything going to happen in relation to the Minister of State, Sean Sherlock, at the Department of Jobs and Enterprise and Innovation. But since then, it's emerged that he plans to introduce a statutory instrument, a ministerial order, which is basically a law without a debate in the Dáil or the Senate. And that this would give effect to many of the things that we've been talking about in relation to SOPA and Protect IP in the States.
Well, in essence, yes. I mean, there's more to it than that. I mean, it's a lot more complicated than that. But yeah, the thing is that there was a court case involving EMI, in other words, a record company, and UPC, an ISP. And obviously, the court case attracted a lot of publicity and attention. And the upshot of it was that EMI did not prevail. UPC did.
And EMI were petitioning the court to allow, or basically to order UPC, which was the internet service provider, to block access to a certain website. Was it the Pirate Bay or?
It doesn't really matter because, I mean, ultimately, it's, you know, the thing with a lot of this stuff is when you're talking about limiting access to a website, it's actually pretty much moot than what the website is, because if you really want to gain access to it, you'll get around whatever blocking order is put in place. So you can demand of an ISP that they block, and the ISP can put certain measures in place, but there are so many ways around that blocking that, It renders the entire thing completely farcical. When the discussions surrounding the SOPA and PIPA legislation in the US came to the attention of the technical community, I mean, the kind of thing that Dan Kaminsky and other people raised as being an issue was that if government insisted on forcing ISPs to block, then it would render the internet, which of course is a very large network, much more insecure, because, you know, in order to effectively block or for people to circumvent, because both would happen, then you would have to bypass a lot of the kind of security features that technologies such as DNSSEC introduce.
Right.
So the thing is, anyway, what's been happening over here, and this, you know, it didn't come overnight. To say that it didn't happen overnight it wouldn't be entirely true. But obviously, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and, you know, unless you have a lot of spare time on your hands, it's very, very hard to keep track of which bits of legislation are being discussed, unless the media or somebody else draws attention to it. I mean, most of us in business were focused on our business, dealing with our clients, dealing with, you know, partner providers, etc., etc. I mean, we don't have time to go chasing after every little bit of legislation. So the government basically feels that as a result of Judge Charlton's declarations in the EMI versus UPC case, where basically the judge said that he couldn't grant injunctive relief to EMI because the Irish statutes / legislation didn't allow him to, or
didn't have a provision for that. Yeah.
Provision or something. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
Based on that, Sherlock and Co. want to introduce modifications to the legislation in order to, well, introduce this.
Yeah,
however, they say that no, it was already there in the legislation.
Yeah, this is the bit I don't understand. In some ways, now, yesterday evening on Drive Time, which is the RTE current affairs programme, yesterday, just after the 6 o'clock news, Minister Sherlock was interviewed. You were interviewed as well. And, you know, some of this discussion went on. It's been going on in various forums since then and before then as well. But this is the thing the minister was saying, essentially, was that this statutory instrument that he intends to bring in is simply rubber stamping or formalising something which exists in law. Your argument is that if it existed in law, Judge Charlton would have been in a position to grant the injunction. This is the bit I don't understand, Michele. The judge basically said that because of a deficiency or an absence of legislation in this area, he wasn't in a position to grant the petition of EMI in that case. But, I mean, surely this is the whole reason why we need to carefully consider what kind of legislation would give him the power to do that.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, if you're confused, how do you think I feel? I'm not a lawyer. And, you know, I might spend a lot of my time arguing with lawyers, but I'm not a lawyer. I take a very simplistic view on a lot of things. So if somebody says to me, which the minister did yesterday evening, that as far as he was concerned, it already existed in law, then I'm kind of sitting there, I'm scratching my head going, okay, if it exists in law, why do you need more legislation? What am I missing? Because, I mean, don't forget, Ireland is a common law country. Now, what that means is we are using the common law system. Now, for anybody who lives in Ireland, the UK, the US, and a few other countries, those are the system. Those are the basis. They are the basis of the laws of the countries you live in. That's what you're using. Whereas if you're in continental Europe, such as France or Germany, you're using a codified system, which is referred to as Napoleonic.
What difference does that make?
Well, the basic difference is under a codified Napoleonic system, legislation has to be written, as in the law has to be written down and specified exactly. Whereas under a common law system, there's a lot more interpretation, and you also have the entire concept of previous case law,
precedent, jurisprudence, and all of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is like why we here in Ireland, we have a nice little thing saying is somewhere that, you know, all previous legislation ever, and going back to the dawn of time, that has ever been introduced is deemed to be carried over as per Bunrock na hÉireann of 1937, as long as it doesn't conflict with Bunrocht. I mean, that's basically what it says. So rather than going off and having to write new laws to cover everything, you basically take on all the existing legislation, as long as it doesn't conflict with the core of your constitution, which is like your binding document.
We would hope to have, I think perhaps on a future episode, we'll hope to get maybe some of our legal bright lights like TJ McIntyre.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's quite a few people there. And I mean,
they
can go through that. But I mean, ultimately the thing is this, because we have case law, because we have all these things, because we have the concept of interpretation, there's two things. One, you can't say to me that it exists under law, but you still need legislation. That makes no sense. The other thing as well is because of the subjective nature of our legal system, then each and every judge has leeway in how they pass judgment. There are a couple of instances where that leeway is severely restricted. You know, that if somebody is convicted of a particular
And this has been a problem. Sorry, Mikhail, to interrupt you, but this has been a problem the world over in relation to this kind of assertion in legislation, in that judges and legislators may have a good handle and understanding in a traditional sense of copyright and intellectual property issues. But when it comes to the internet, there's a certain amount of technical knowledge dismissed by some legislators recently in the United States as nerd stuff. But there's a certain amount of technical knowledge required. There has been the problem, has there not, that entertainment companies, record companies, the music industry, the movie industry has gone before judges, and that judges have intended to attach undue weight to the claims made by copyright holders in relation to the, first of all, the impact of piracy on them, and secondly, in relation to their suggestions as to how that should be actually dealt with. And there doesn't seem to have been the same weight attached to the concerns of the internet and technology business community.
Well, this that's a multi-part thing, I suppose. So let's break that up a little bit.
But what I'm saying is,
just hold on. Okay, yeah. Let's address that. Okay, first of all, and I've seen this across a multitude of different things, but as the poor suffering listeners of the show might know, I'm very involved with ICANN. Mm. And within ICANN, you have different stakeholder groups. And it's, in some ways, it's like a little kind of microcosm of society. You know, you have law enforcement agents, you have intellectual property rights people, you have people who represent big business, you have people from the ISPs, you have hosting providers and registrars, you have civil rights people, non-commercial types, charities, whatever, NGOs. You have people who look after the plumbing of the internet, all these kind of things. So you've got this wide cross-section, and it's not dissimilar to what you're talking about here. Yeah. And time and again, it becomes evident that those people who are representing the interests of the intellectual property lobby are very, very well organized. Yeah. To start with. Now, whether they're right or they're wrong is irrelevant, because ultimately, if you present something well, I mean, it's marketing. You know, you present a well-reasoned argument. It doesn't matter how flawed it is. If it's well-reasoned and well-presented, people will buy into it.
Yeah.
If you are organized and coherent, so all the companies in, say, the recording industry all speak with a unified voice, there is unity, and people are able to then say, ah, yes.
Well, there is, and there is a legacy of big business here, and there is a legacy of, I suppose, the fact that these are large companies and they've been able to put these strategies in place, Michele. And as a result, we have things like the three strikes in relation to internet access. Now, basically, it's again, was implemented by ministerial order here in Ireland and has been in either by legislation or similar in other countries around the world as well. So we appreciate that. There is this issue in relation to, I suppose, the effectiveness of that lobby, and perhaps the internet industry has not been traditionally as effective as it would otherwise be. So we know where we got to. Essentially, there is, I suppose, I presume there is pressure, there is lobbying being made on the Department of Enterprise, and Minister Sherlock is intending to introduce this ministerial order. But people have begun to galvanise against it now, Michele. Tell me what happened in relation to getting this Stop SOPA Ireland site up, and how things have led to where we are right now, culminating in you being on Drive Time yesterday evening. And, well, where are we now? That's a good question.
Well, it's been an interesting couple of days. I put up a couple of posts over the last couple of days on the company blog covering my thoughts on various things in around this entire debacle. I was approached by the guys behind the Stop SOPA Ireland Facebook page, and I was also approached by Sabrina Dent. And in the end, we managed to get everybody together. So the Stop SOPA Ireland campaign, in inverted commas, I mean it's very, very loose, involves me, Simon McGar from McGar Solicitors, TJ McIntyre, who's, you know, well known as been quite outspoken on digital rights. There's also you know, Sabrina doing stuff, and a few others who've also helped out. But the it's basically myself, Simon, and TJ have been the kind of the faces or the voices or the words behind a lot of it. It's been a very interesting couple of days.
And you engaged with the minister on Twitter on Monday night.
Oh yes, nothing. I tried my best to resist the temptation, but he does tweet, and he tweets from his iPhone. So Monday night, there was some exchanges involving myself and a few other what's the word,
campaigners.
Prolific, infamous,
yes,
Irish Twitter users, and I think, you know, he both on Twitter, at least on Twitter, he was trying to engage. One can disagree with what he was saying, and even on the radio yesterday evening, again, you know, he was engaging at some level, and I think that's something which we should be thankful for.
I think he's acting in good faith, Michele, but do you get the impression that perhaps he is not as informed as he could be?
Well, this is the problem. I mean, I spoke to another politician yesterday. I mean, it's been kind of amusing. I don't normally speak to politicians. It's not really my thing. and I was, well, it's not that I have a problem with politicians.
No.
I've absolutely
You're too busy doing your job and minding your business. But,
I said to one of them yesterday morning, I am apolitical. Publicly, I am apolitical. And how does that manifest itself? Well, I hate them all equally. Well, I love them all equally.
Well, Michele, you're not party political, but in fairness, what you do and the advocacy you engage in for the Irish internet business community, look, call a spade a spade. That's politics, Michele. It's not party politics as such, but you are involved in politics, and you have been visibly involved in that way over the last few days.
Well, I have been for years, ultimately, if you want to look at it in that respect. But I suppose when everybody talks about politics, they're talking about party politics. I mean, I posted something there the other day, you know, before any of this kicked off, about how I'd been listening to the radio, and I was actually quite disgusted. I was disgusted. I felt almost sick to my stomach. And normally you don't get that kind of visceral reaction from me when I hear politicians squabbling amongst themselves.
What was that in relation to? Was that this issue or something else?
No. Something completely unrelated. Right. Yeah. I can't even remember what they were arguing about.
Yeah.
And the thing was, what struck me was this, that they were more interested in scoring points against each other than they were in actually moving forward.
It's tribal politics, Michele.
And it's rubbish. It's ridiculous. Like, the thing is,
we'll move on. Let's get back to the tech. What you're saying.
It really annoys me. But anyway,
but Michele,
where we're at now, to answer your question,
where we're at now is kind of scary. Anonymous are after getting involved. Distributed denial of service attacks on government websites. Michele, I'm scared.
Well, yeah, okay. The anonymous things last night was, as one of the anonymous Twitter accounts told me, oh my God, I'm talking to anonymous on Twitter, help! That it's more of a kind of a shot across the bows rather than an actual concerted attack.
I'm not sure that shooting across the bows is very helpful to the Stop SOPA Ireland campaign.
No, it isn't. I mean, that's the thing. Because as I wrote earlier this afternoon, it is far too easy for people to equate cyber activism with cyber terrorism.
Yeah.
Cyber activism is something that I can understand, you can probably understand, no offense. Those of us who spend, you know, a good part of our lives online,
yes,
can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't confuse my appreciation of cyber activism with me condoning it. As a hosting provider, I hate denial of service attacks. I think they drive me mad, because all they do is cost me time and headaches, and I don't actually make any money from it, or it'll cost me money basically. But, you know, I can understand it, and at a level, and I know there's a difference between it and hacking. However, you know, you wake up this morning, turn on the radio, and every single news channel is carrying stories about how the Department of Justice website and a few others were taken offline last night. Mm. And sure enough, my phone started ringing shortly after 8 a.m. With various news outlets looking for a comment and explanation as to what the hell a denial of service attack was. And you know, the problem with this is then that what this means is that these bigger businesses, these people with the expensive lawyers, they're able then to turn around to government ministers and say, look, this is what's happening on the internet.
Anarchy.
Isn't this terrible?
Yes.
Look at what they're doing.
Help us squash it down.
Yes. And would you ever think of the children? I mean, obviously, that always gets thrown in there somewhere. But
okay.
The thing is, and you know, I was talking to a politician yesterday, and you know, he said to me bluntly, he said, look, you know, you ask me about, and I can't remember what the topics were, it could have been health and maybe something else. So, you ask me any question about health, he says, I'd be able to answer you. Or at least I'd make a fair stab at answering it, because that's my area of expertise. But when it comes to something like this, I haven't got a clue. And that is the problem, because it's the same with me. If you were to ask me about the internal workings of my car's engine, I wouldn't have a clue. All I know is it gets me from point A to point B. Well, when it comes to the internet, that's the way most people are.
Again, but do you know what, right, Michaela? We have this, you mentioned the organised entertainment industry, intellectual property lobby, right? And they are going to, now, politicians have already been educated, for example, over the last 20 years. They've been educated.
They haven't.
No, in this area. Politicians, the media and the entertainment lobby, all credit to them, particularly in this country, have rightly pointed out to successive governments and politicians to the extent that all parties now toe the line on this, and that could be part of the problem here as well, the value of the indigenous entertainment industry. We point to Bono, we point to Aslan, or we point to whomever it is. We point to Jim Sheridan. We talk about the success of the film industry. Tax breaks have been introduced, going back to Charlie Haughey and the artist exemption on income tax from artistic works. All of this is on. No, I'm just saying to you is that this isn't politicians' native language either, but the lobbying has led to a situation where they understand it. Equally,
but the problem is the digital industry has done a very poor job.
That's what I'm getting to. Equally, the digital industry needs to put this in
the same hymn
exactly
card.
And this needs to be put in terms that politicians can understand, which is basically jobs and the economy.
It's not just politicians that need to understand this, though.
Yes.
This is the problem. There's two sides to it.
Yeah.
One, we as an industry as a whole need to learn to speak a language that politicians and those that work with them can understand and can relate to and can empathise with.
Absolutely.
And we have failed miserably there. Like, for example, if you listen to people describing the denial of service attacks today, you end up with the kind of Wikipedia definitions. Mm. Well, so that's great. Why don't you just send the people to Wikipedia instead of wasting time ringing up some supposed expert for an explanation? But it still doesn't answer the question. My mother still doesn't know what the hell it is. Send her to Wikipedia. She's as confused as she was before. Put it in terms they can understand. Use analogies that people can relate to. I used one in relation to traffic. I mean, it's basically congestion.
Yeah.
It may not be 100% technically accurate, but it's good enough that somebody understands what you're talking about and also understands what it isn't, which I think is very, very important.
You did this last week as well, Michaela. You end up sounding very, very reasonable indeed, and you're the first to put your hand up and say that the internet industry needs to clean up its act and
they need to self-regulate. I mean,
yes.
This is the thing. Like, I get very, very, very depressed and very upset when I see this kind of thing going on. And again, how many Irish technology companies are actually getting involved with this?
Mm.
I mean, who are the ones who are standing up and saying no, no, no? I mean, you don't have to answer it. It's one of those things. But I mean, it's still. Look, it's too upsetting. I can't go on.
We'll come back to it again, Michaela. As you mentioned, your phone has been ringing. You're going to be going shortly, I know you were saying, to do another media interview for radio. And this has been very busy. We're not done with it. We'll come back to it next week. We have invited Minister Sean Sherlock to join us on technology.ie. And we are hopeful that he'll be able to take that invitation up at some stage in the very near future. We also hope to talk to TJ McIntyre and or Simon McGarr as well. And we'll be back to this issue without a shadow of a doubt next week. Before you go, Michaela, will you tell me how's your January sale going on in Black Knight? You've just got a few more days left in that.
That's going grand. I mean, it's actually, you know, between one thing and another, there's been so many other things going on. It's I haven't been looking at that as closely as I might have liked. I mean, the number, it's kind of amusing moving stuff around and looking at, you know, the number of tweets on that are being sent about various blog posts on the company blog, and the amount of traffic that's generating is quite interesting to watch.
There is,
we're still running some fantastic offers. If you go to domainoffers.me, you can find all the latest discounts and offers on hosting and domains.
Michaela Nealon, thank you for joining us.